Well, Jared, that music's supposed to be playing. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. This is Coach Dave. Coach Dave and I'm live today. We're all live. Everybody in this queue is live. Welcome. I don't know why the intro doesn't play. Jared, I loaded Jared down about 10 videos this morning, some different things, and he's going to rebuild his computer and get that thing up and running, so apologize there was no intro. Got almost a full queue. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I got room for one more. Got a new guy with us today. Enter and sign in, man. You got to unmute yourself. Let us know who you are and where you're from. Right up the top, you'll see a picture of a microphone. Just click on that, and that'll unmute you.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now the world can hear you.
Hey, my name's Brian. I'm from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, Brian, I'd love to be down there with you. I'd love to be down there in Myrtle Beach. That's one of my favorite vacation places in the world. You're not far from my buddy Larry, who's down there. Do you know Larry?
Don't know Larry. I'll have to try and meet him.
Hey, come on, man. We connect the world. Well, welcome, Brian. Glad you joined us. John Fry, good to see you there, man. Boy, I got a lot of stuff I want to try to lay out to us here today, folks. Man, I don't even know where to start. Lord, just give me good direction here today. Yes, let's do that. Let's go to Matthew. Open up your Bibles to Matthew. I realized one of the things I always thought made me a good teacher, always made me a good coach. My opinion, I thought I was a good one. Maybe other people didn't. I thought I was a pretty good coach. Is I learned very, very, very young in my coaching career. Some old veteran coach said, "Coach, you know what happens when you assume something?" I said, "What do you mean?" He says, when you assume something, you make an ass out of you and me. Assume. Ass, you, me. And in coaching, if you assume somebody knows something, you're due to get your butt beat. You're making an ass out of you and me. And I've tried to always done my best. In fact, it was always one of the great problems I had with pastors in particular. Pastors always, I thought, made the mistake that everybody knew what they knew. And so, therefore, when they're given a sermon and they're given a perspective, they lose people because they don't know. The people don't know what they know. And as soon as I realized that, you know, I remember Lou Holtz. I saw a video of Lou Holtz, great football coach at South Carolina, Notre Dame, New York Jets. Started out at Ohio State. Saw a video where he's speaking to his football team. In this first meeting, he held up a ball. Had a football in his hands, held up, says, "Boys, this is a football." He started at the very basics so that everybody's on the same page. So I think I've been making a mistake in that I assumed that everybody on here knew what I was talking about when I was talking about Wichita, Operation Save America, what we do. I assumed everybody. We go to Wichita, Kansas this Friday. I'm heading out Friday, Saturday morning. And I'm getting calls every day now. People want to know more information. How do I get there? What do I do? And I feel really bad because I haven't told people what's going on. I haven't. So that's what I want to try to do here this morning. I've got some real quick videos I want to show you. And I want to enlighten you to something. I said Matthew chapter 5, didn't I? Let's do it a little bit backwards today. Can we go to the scriptures first today, and then we're gonna crack it open? Hey, John Pride, I can't wait to get to Wichita, Kansas, man. I can't wait. I'm just telling you, I feel a bubbling going on that I just can't even tell you. And I'm bringing some newbies with me, and it's gonna be great. I'm in Matthew chapter 5, and I want to start if we can. Roger, can I trust you today? Do you have a big boy Bible? You still got that little girl's Bible?
Dave, I've got the big boy, but I'm not quite ready.
Okay. Well, I got it, and I am ready. I'm in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 10. Now, the Beatitudes are just spelled out there. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the Jesus is preaching the Beatitudes. And as Larry made very, very clear to me, I had this so wrong. I read this so much, it was so wrong. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain. He got away from the multitudes, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth. Jesus is speaking specifically to the disciples. He's not speaking to everybody. Until Larry pointed that out about a month ago, I had never, ever seen that. I assumed that when he's given the Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking to everybody, but he's not. He says he went up in the mountain, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. He taught the disciples. So I'm going to jump down, excuse me, to verse 10. He's speaking directly to the disciples, to followers of his. It says in verse 11, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. Falsely. For my sake. When that happens to you, verse 12, rejoice. And be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for that's how they treated all the boys came before you. You get that, guys? He's telling his disciples, they ain't going to like you. You're going to be reviled. You're going to be persecuted. They're going to say all types of lies about you that aren't true. And realize they're not talking about you. They're talking about me, Jesus is saying. They're doing it to me. It's not you they hate. I saw when we were up at Buffalo, and I'm no Sergio, amen this, they hate Jesus. Now, they love the Jesus they got in their own mind, but they hate this Jesus. I can promise you that. This Jesus of judgment and repentance, they don't want anything to do with that. Stay with me. Verse 13, then he says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses his savor, time out. That must tell me we're able to lose it, huh? Huh? He ain't talking about salt. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt loses, King James Version, his savor. Do you guys see that? Salt's not a he, is it? Is salt a he? Salt is an it. When I read this, it doesn't say if the salt loses its savor. What's that pronoun there, Serge? If the salt loses his savor. Somebody give me a thumbs up so you know I'm not lying to you, that you see what I'm talking about. That in fact, he renamed us salt. He says, you're the salt of the earth, and if you lose your savor, you're good for nothing. He's not talking about salt. He's talking about you and me. When you lose your savor, you're good for nothing. Except to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. That's happening to us, isn't it? It's happening to us. You're the light of the world. Who is? Not Jesus. You are. Because when Jesus comes inside you, you now reflect him. You're him. You are him. You are the salt of the earth. We say Jesus is the light of the world. Well, yeah, but he didn't say that. Not here anyway. He says you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel. That's a church, by the way. They set you on fire and they let you sit in the church and give light to the church. Well, that's not at all what it says. It says no man cannot, neither do men light a candle, but they put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before who? Men. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Hey, guys, people come to the Lord through watching your good works. Man, oh man, oh man. I don't think it can be any more clear than that. It can't be any more clear that the world will come to the truth through your good works. Why? You're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. And when you go about hiding your light and you go about making your salt sugar, you become good for nothing. They might as well just throw you out and walk right over the top of you. And that's exactly what's going on. That's a great scripture you can go ahead and read. I'm not going to read the rest of it because I got a lot I want to show you. Jared, yes. I can't hear you. Can't hear you. So you got to whatever you got to do, you got to do there to get it so we can hear you. Anybody else hear Jared? I can't hear Jared. Sorry, bud. So Jared, while you're working on that, folks, listen. The ministry opportunities are outside the church. There are ministry opportunities inside the church. But you're not the salt of the church, you're the salt of the world. Do you have it now, Jared?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I got you.
Yeah, I just want to tie that into culture a little bit. America was created from a bunch of Christians who left somewhere. They didn't go into a world of sin. They left somewhere and said, we're going to make a Christian place.
Amen.
And then look at what America turned into. It turned into the light of the world. Everybody said, I want to go to America. Why?
That's your liberty, holding that light, right?
They have Christian values. That's why. They have Christian values. And now we have this idea that we need to experience evil. I was thinking about Genesis. In Genesis, what does God say to Adam and them? Don't eat the fruit. He would rather you do good works in ignorance than know what evil is. He would rather you just do the right thing and not know what the wrong thing is. You know? So, and we're in this world where we all have to understand. Just try it once. Try all these evil things once.
Hey, Jared, listen, it's your sin nature. Listen, folks. Jared, this is a great point. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You guys have all heard that, right? And we find out that a lot of guys fall into pornography, they fall into drugs, they fall into alcoholism because they're idle. They got free time on their hands. And because they got free time on their hands, their mind gets them doing stupid stuff. So listen, you train your mind so that when you get idle, you do good stuff. You're bored today. Instead of going to the casino or turning on pornography, go downtown. Help the homeless. Feed somebody. Go mow somebody's yard for them. Go wash somebody's car. Why is it that when your mind goes idle, you naturally want to go do stupid stuff? Get your mind right that when your mind goes idle, you go do productive stuff. Get a hobby that helps people. What you're saying, Jared?
Kind of. I mean, I'm more saying just you don't just do the right thing. You don't have to. You don't even have to know what the evil thing is.
Just do what's right.
As a culture, make rules. That's wrong. This is wrong. Stop doing it. You don't have to know the other side of it. It doesn't matter. Just do the right thing.
Yeah, that's right. I don't have to snort cocaine to understand cocaine. Just stay away from it. Flee immorality is what the scripture says. Just stay away from it. Stay away from it. So here's what happens. I'm going to give you a real quick tutorial here on Operation Save America, but I want you to see something first. Jared, get that picture. Throw that picture up on the screen. Yesterday morning, I go to the clinic. You guys watched the show yesterday. I go to the abortion clinic afterwards. And as I'm getting ready, go ahead and put that up on the screen. You guys look at that picture a minute. So as I'm getting ready to go to the clinic yesterday, this is on the east side of Newark, east side of Columbus. I'm standing on the sidewalk right across the street from the clinic. And as I'm getting ready to go out the door in the morning, I'm getting my wallet off my dresser, There's $40 sitting on my dresser. And as clear as I've heard anything, the Holy Spirit said to me, pick that up. I'm thinking, I don't want to take any money with me. I might get robbed. Even though I got protection with me, if you know what I'm talking about. And so I put it in my pocket. And I'm out there on the street. And I'm standing up for abortion, standing up for unborn babies. This happened yesterday. And as I'm standing there, this young lady comes walking down the street. And have you ever looked in somebody and you see tears right behind their eyes? And she says, I sure appreciate you guys being out here. Sure appreciate you standing out here for these unborn babies. And I went over and I put my arm around her and I says, you're carrying something, aren't you? And she said, what? I said, you're really carrying something. What are you carrying? Boom, a flood came. She goes in and she tells me the story. Her 25-year-old daughter's in jail. She got thrown out of her church, or a church wouldn't help her. She had a good job. She lost her good job. She lost her house because she's taking care of the three grandchildren. She can't go to work. She's living in a homeless shelter with her three grandchildren. Her daughter's in jail. She loves Jesus. She wishes she could find a church. She wishes that she wasn't so alone. She's mad at God, and how could God let this happen to her? And blah, 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 blah. Just sobbing. My buddy Mark Mattingly can give. This is off Mark's website, by the way. I'm out there, you understand, listen to me. I'm out there trying to protect babies. And this ministry opportunity walks right up to me. You know what I got in my pocket? So I reach in my pocket and I said, with this help, $40. She couldn't stop sobbing. She said, that's $1 million to me. You don't understand. That's $1 million to me. Out trying to rescue babies. And a ministry opportunity pops right up for me, a chance to be salt of the earth and light of the world. Right there, walked right up to me. Had a great conversation with her, exchanged phone numbers. She's trying to get back on her feet, trying a chance to get a job. She's in public housing. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Hey, guys. The lost people are outside the church. She isn't even a lost person. I had a conversation with another guy yesterday at the church. How do I say this without this sounding like a pat on the back? I'm just going to say it. Here at Pass the Salt, I try to keep a supply of what I call a benevolence fund. A benevolence fund. See, there's nothing worse. You know what this girl right here needed as much as anything? She needed $40. She didn't ask me for it. I could have prayed for her. I could have given her a ride. I could have done everything. That girl didn't have any dignity. She didn't have any money in her hand. She couldn't buy anything for her little babies. And she relayed to me. The part of the problem is when she goes to churches, churches don't want to help. Churches don't have money to help. Broke my heart. Breaks my heart. I offered yesterday. I said, listen, I can tell you love the Lord, sweetheart. I can tell you do. And I'm here to help you. If you need help with your first month's rent, you call us. And she said, oh, no, I'm okay with the rent, public housing, whatever. They're going to pay my first 3 months. I'm okay there. But see, what it was a practical, how do I say this? Not just I'll pray for you, be filled and be warm, but an actual gospel moment. And to a girl broken heart and angry at God. That stuff happens when you hit the streets. It's so cool, man. So those of you who are going to, who think about going to Wichita, I'm not just talking about the guys in the queue. I think there are people outside who aren't part of the queue who are thinking about coming. They don't even know what it is that I'm talking about here with Operation Save America. So I got a couple different videos I want to show you. Is it okay if I do that with you guys? I want to show you an opportunity to be salt of the earth and light of the world and what it really means. Jared, let's start with, it just says Pastor Rob on it. No, not that one. Well, you'll find it. Hey, guys, listen, this has never happened to me in all of our years of Operation Save America. We're just a conglomerate of people who come together. That's all we are. Yeah, the one that says Rob Rotolo on it, that's the one, Jared. This has never happened. Let me lay a background for you. George Tiller. You guys have heard George Tiller. Maybe you haven't heard of George Tiller. George Tiller was probably the world's most notorious abortionist. He did late-term abortions. He was an elder at his church. An elder at his church. He was killed at his church. He was shot and killed by a pro-lifer in his church. Listen, we don't kill people. We believe in life, all right? So this idea of violence and all that stuff, that's all a lie. That's all made up. Don't believe any of this stuff. This has never happened to me in the 15 years I've been with Operation Save America. Rob Rotolo, Pastor Rob Rotolo. Let me back up. George Tiller, by his own admission, at his own abortion clinic, which is like the White House of abortion. It is the... It is the monument. It is the Washington's monument of abortion in America, George Tiller's abortion clinic. When he was killed, it was closed for a period of time because they didn't have anybody do the abortions. And now it's open again. It's the only abortion clinic. Only abortion clinic there. And it's teetering. And we see it as a vulnerable place that we can go and attack. And so we're calling people to come to Wichita, Kansas for the anniversary of the 25th anniversary of the Summer of Mercy. 25 years ago, there were 44,000 people in Wichita, Kansas, in a stadium. Pat Robertson was there. Big names were there. And the urge to end abortion 25 years ago. Didn't end abortion for whatever reason. I don't want to get into the depth of that. But here we are 25 years later. And there are people who are coming back to Wichita, Kansas, who haven't been there in 25 years. And we're coming back, and we have in our sights George Tiller's abortion clinic, which is still open. Even though they're not doing as many abortions as they used to do, it is nothing more than a fundraiser for the abortion industry. John could give us more information on that. But this is Pastor Robert. When we go into a town, the pastors hate us. They hate us. You guys know why, just from being on the queue. You understand, we want to be salt and light, and we call them to be salt and light, and they want to be loved, and they want to hide. So they don't like us coming into town. And as John Pride told us yesterday, right there on the ground in Wichita, there's great conflict in Wichita right now because some of the churches are rising up, and who are they fighting against? You got it! Those other churches. The fight's within our own team, again. This is 3 minutes. Rob Rotolo. Player, this blesses you. This is one of the reasons we're going to Wichita, Kansas. This is a pastor. Go ahead, Jared.
Mission Save America. I'm Rob Rotolo, pastor of Word of Life Church in Wichita, Kansas, and we want to invite you to come. We want to invite you to come. Bruce Guerin, John Pride, other notable Wichitans, some people that don't even live in Wichita right now, like Mark Hollick and others, people will be coming to Wichita for the reunion of the Summer of Mercy. And I want to tell you my vantage point and the way I'm seeing this thing. Word of Life has 7 campuses in Wichita. We have a very diverse congregation, white people, black people, Hispanic people, everything you can imagine, Asian people. And we are asking you to come. But the church in the city will be a lot more than Word of Life. There's already more churches than Word of Life represented. The churches in the city invite you to come.
Wow.
Come, join us. Help us make a difference in the death industry happening in Wichita, Kansas. Wichita, Kansas is still the monument to Moloch. It is still the treasure of the earth. You know, Jerusalem is God's treasure of the earth. Wichita, Kansas, and the abortion industry, the building that George Tiller built, is still the apple of Satan's eye. And we need to resist this thing because they're killing again. They're dismembering the babies again. And we can make a difference. We've done it before in the city of Wichita. Many abortion clinics used to exist here. Now there's just one. There was a time where 4 different facilities did abortions. Now there's just one. And this person running this clinic is not nearly as powerful, doesn't have nearly the money that George Tiller had. This person has means, but nowhere near the means. We can make a huge difference. Our church will be joining. Our pastors will be joining. We invite you to come. We got a wonderful site to host the meetings and the organizational meetings. And I want to tell you this. Our confidence is with OSA. Our confidence is with Rusty Thomas and the others that have been in OSA and have led OSA in the past. From the Keith Tusey's with Operation Save America to Flip Benham and the others that have served in the ministry from Operation Rescue to Operation Save America over the years, the different forms of this ministry. These guys have given their lives to the gospel. And there's many that help them. There are grandmothers with Bibles. There are nuns that come and priests. And there are people that are the woman that has 4 kids and 2 of them are in a stroller and she's strolling them out there. However you get here, come. We're going to have wonderful facilities to house you at very reasonable costs. We're working on that right now. We know we will succeed in that. So what I want to say to everyone there is welcome. Our doors are wide open and it is time for life to prevail over death again in Wichita, Kansas.
Wow. Wow, I'm telling you, I've been doing this a long time. Never, ever had a pastor ever do that. That's rare, isn't it, John? And John, this dude, Pastor Rob's the real deal, isn't he, brother? You got to unmute yourself, John. Can you get John there, Jared? I'm sorry. There you are, John.
You got me?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I'm meeting with Pastor Rob this morning at 8:30, and we're making our preparations for you guys. It's going to be good. It's, you know, the gal that owns the clinic where George is or was, she's one of George's disciples.
By the way, let me stop you a second, John. I think I said this yesterday, not today. By his own admission, George Tiller killed 65,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah, 65,000. And she's one of his disciples. They also do transgender work in there. You know, they start you on your way to making the switch.
It's just wicked. It's just wicked, and we're going to go there, John.
It's nasty. It's really nasty.
I'm just trying to keep things rolling here. Roger, were you going to say something? Roger? Jared, while he's doing that, go to the next email. Operation Save America, it says promo on it. It's a second email. It's got the video. It says Justice is calling, and then it says promo. Go ahead, Rog.
I just do not understand a vibrant pastor, why he would not do what this man just did once a year, let alone a whole week. You know what I'm saying? Once a year. If you were a pastor that loved the Lord, once a year, would you not go to something?
And especially this. Now, here's what's important. I'm going to show you a video. Now, Jared's going to show you a video. And again, I apologize to this because a lot of guys – some guys have chosen to go, but they don't even know what it is. What is Operation Save America? Here's a 3-minute promo. I've told all of you, listen, this is families on the street, peaceful, God-fearing people on the street with ministry opportunities like you just saw I had with the young lady yesterday. This is a 3-minute called Justice is Calling. Go ahead. We're not hearing it, Jared, for some reason. Not your fault, man. Not your fault. Let's stop it and reset it, because that's not the one I'm looking for anyway. Where did I put my phone? There it is. I'm sorry, guys. Jared, sorry. I sent him so much stuff this morning, I can understand why he's a little messed up. Stay with me. I don't know how to do this. Jared's pumping away on the thing, trying to hear him pumping away. So what does Operation Save America consist of? What does it mean? That's the video that I'm trying to get, that we're trying to get up for you. And because it's going to show you exactly, it is not what they try to tell you. Jared had a guy tell him yesterday that I'm a racist. That's what they try to paint us. They were violent. We had John tell us yesterday. They got 150 cops waiting on us when we get there. We don't do any violence. We're peaceful, God-fearing Christians. We stand for the truth. We speak the truth. We take our children with us when we go. Let me see. That's not the one I'm looking for, Jared. Flip back. It's entitled, I got too many things. No. Flip to your other email. Boy, we're really organized here, aren't we? Yes. No, that one. There you go. See where it says promo. That's the one. Not Justice is Calling. Go back to that email, Jared. I'm sorry, guys. Man, we seem like pros, don't we? Right in the middle there, the second one says promo. There you go. There we go. What is Operation Save America? Let's pray that we can get the audio to work here. It's not working. The auto. There we go. There we go.
It's working. It's working?
Yeah. Yeah. Click that three.
just for the babies. That's important. But we're also here for the salvation of the lost. We want to see souls. Souls that spit on us. Souls that ridicule us. Souls that mock us. Souls that believe that the death of the baby is the only choice a woman has. We want to see those souls come to Christ because we love them, and it's the love of Christ that compels us.
What are you going to tell the Lord Jesus when he asks you about this baby, Mom? Have mercy on your baby in Jesus' name.
We as Christians are privileged as the church militant to take this battle right into the streets and give them all the heaven we can. Allow the theology of heaven to fall down on these gates of hell and become biography in the streets. And we know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And listen, here's the best news. God's got an exposed place in the wall, and he's called us to stand in the gap. And that's what we're doing. We're giving them heaven, and all hell is breaking loose, but all heaven is coming down. And our prayer is, just like Norma McCorvey, the Jane Roe, Roe versus Wade, they'll receive this wonderful Jesus, and every sin that they've ever committed would be forgiven, and that they would rise up to sing the song that we're singing, the same song, because we overcome this by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, not loving our own lives so much as to shrink from death.
Guys, I want you to see this part right here. One of the things we do every year is we have a memorial to the unborn. And it's an actual funeral procession that we do, walk down the street. And this is an actual aborted baby that you're looking at, and an actual aborted child in a little casket. And so you're going to see the reaction of people. You're going to, the next couple minutes, you're going to see the reaction of people who walk by and look in that casket. Usually everybody lays a flower, a rose. And that little thing there is a little child. It's an unborn baby. Interesting. Say, how do you get that? Well, Father Frank Pavone, who you're going to see in a minute, he has it. And they can't take it from him because it's not illegal to have it because it's not a human being. You understand? So what we're going to see when we do this procession, we call it a memorial to the unborn. You're going to watch people now walk by the casket of this little aborted baby. Go ahead there, Jared. Way to back that up, man. Good job.
Because they were killed in secret, we will honor them in the broad light of day. Because after all, the killing of these children by abortion is promoted and advertised publicly. Well, therefore, we are going to honor them publicly.
If my people who will call by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land.
Man, that's powerful. And see, we're a public witness on behalf of the Lord, not only about the slaughter of the unborn children, but a public witness living our faith out on the streets. It's powerful. Reaction. Anybody? So they say, well, Coach, what's the day consist of? Well, we get there. It's going to be really hot in Wichita. Probably in the 90s. It's in the mid, you know, it's a midsection. Ain't no wind blowing out there except tornado time. There's a lot of wind, huh, John? We get up early in the morning, and we don't know how many be there. There'll be hundreds. There'll be 500, maybe 1,000 people there, Christians, going to be in Wichita, Kansas. And in the morning, we will break up into teams. We break up into teams, and we hit the streets. Some people will go to overpasses and hold abortion signs up on the overpass over the freeway. Some people will go to the abortionist neighborhood and hand out literature. Some will go to a university and hand out tracts to the college students regarding abortion. Some people will go to the clinic itself, and there will be a myriad of different things going on, and you'll be put into a team. And as you see, this is not a team of hairy-chested, big-bellied guys like me. It's families. Because we really believe in Operation Save America. You look at those little kids walk by, and they look in the casket. We hear a lot when we go out there. People say, I don't want my kids seeing that. Pictures? We don't want them seeing that. Well, we want our kids seeing it. And our kids are smart enough to understand that's a hurt baby. That's a hurt baby. And mean people are doing things to hurt babies. And these little kids are being raised up, and they become pro-life champions for the cause of Christ. So we're not ashamed to bring our children. We believe ministry is a family event. A family event. So that's why I said yesterday, I said to Stephen, bring your kids. Yeah, it may be a pain in the butt chasing your kids around for a week. Yeah, you got to take care of them. You got to do whatever you got to do with kids. But there'll be other kids on the street, and instead of you putting your kids in the public schools and having them learn that crap in the public schools, surround them with God-fearing young men and young little boys and little girls who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go out there, and those children then, it's like everything else. If you train them up in the way they should go when they get old, they won't depart from it. We have got to get a generational approach, a generational vision for our children. We have got to hand the baton to our children. And the only way we can do that is to get them involved in ministry often and early. And that's what we do at Operation Save America, and we're not ashamed to say that we do it. Floor's open. I heard somebody breathing. Somebody wanted to say something. No?
Dave?
Yes, I knew somebody.
Well, I just want to let the huddle know also, I've given some thoughts to going. If there are any men in the huddle that are thinking of going, but finances are a little bit difficult, if they would get in touch with you and then maybe others of us in the huddle could assist them, because I know I would not be the only one wanting to help.
Well, so, Stephen needs some help. Stephen needs some help. He's taking his two daughters with him, got to put them in a hotel. Stephen can use some help. Steve wants to say something. Go ahead, Steve. Just one daughter? Steve, just one daughter?
I'm only taking my daughter.
Okay.
The mom's going to have her daughter. But, yeah.
It doesn't matter. Steve can use some help. He's gone. We'll take care of him. If somebody wants to chip in and help Stephen, that's great as well. Somebody else?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, John.
You might consider reaching out to Pastor Rob. We've got some community housing for people that are tied on cash. So,
okay.
I mean, we've got some things available, but I don't know how much we have left. I know we're putting 60 people up at a retreat. So,
all right. Well, and you know what else? What if Stephen ran into a godly woman out there? Wow.
There you go.
Huh? That's a kind. I know some of the guys who say when they take their families, they start out as 7, 8, 9 years old, and now they're 16, 17. And one of the guys told me, he says, "Hey, I bring my daughter here. I want her manhunting. I want her marrying somebody like these guys that are here." Huh? There's nothing wrong to think that way, is there? Nothing wrong at all. Jared. There's another 1 minute video there, Jared. It's on the same one. It says Jesus. I'm trying to figure which one I gave you. It says Pastor Rusty Thomas at the end of it. It's about a minute long. Now listen, let this penetrate you a little bit. This is Rusty street preaching. And you say, well, Coach, I've never street preached. I don't know how to do it. I know. Can you hold a sign? Can you stand there and hold a sign? Can you do what Rusty's doing there? How much experience do you need to do that? Now, Rusty's going to preach. I want you to hear this because this is really powerful. It's about a minute. But you don't have to be able to do this. You just stand there, as I said, fold your arms. We need bodies. This is critical. Let's listen to Rusty here a minute. 1 minute, I think, is all it is.
Legal. It was legal. Everything that happened in Nazi Germany was legal. Folks, listen to me. Everybody who believed in slavery were free people.
Everybody who believed in slavery were free people. Everybody who believes in abortion has already been born. Everybody who believes in abortion has already been born. Did you catch that? Everything in Nazi Germany, legal. Every person that believed in slavery, free people. Every person that believes in abortion, already born and in living. What's wrong with this picture? This is what oppression looks like. This is what tyranny is like. You, my friend, are on the wrong side of history. You, my friend, are on the wrong side of the Lord God Jehovah. You, my friend, are on the wrong side of the future. Believe me, a day is coming when our nation is going to look back on this time in the same disgust we have for slavery, we will have for this abomination. I promise you that.
Everything is legal. Legal.
I didn't realize
we were getting attacked.
Can you guys hear me? I switched everything. I don't even think these things are working. I went on to another computer, so I'm joining you here. I'm sorry. I didn't realize my video had gone down again. Everything Hitler did was legal. Everything that's going on in America today is legal. Slavery was legal. You understand that? Everything Hitler did with the Jews was according to law. We fought a civil war, cost us 600,000 lives to end that sin. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Has it dawned on you that what you are watching in the streets of America today is bloodshed following bloodshed, because we will not stand up and end the slaughter of unborn children? When are we going to connect the dots and understand that this is causing this? And it's the job of the church to rise up and do something about it. Are you guys hearing me okay? Give me a thumb. Good. I didn't know if my microphone was working. I didn't know. I'm going to – somebody say something. I'm going to see if I can switch back over this other one. It's – something going on.
Something.
Go ahead, Larry.
Something. Okay. You said somebody say something.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Hey, I tell you, one of the things that there will be divine appointments. There will be appointments. You don't know when they're coming, but they will happen. And be praying and being prepared for divine moments. People will come up to you, and that will be your moment to touch them, like you did the lady the other day with the $40. I mean, those moments are going to happen.
And John, not only that, you don't even know that they're moments of ministry. Somebody's going to come up to you, and they're going to be angry. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be able to turn their heart and get into what the real root of their anger is.
Right.
You're going to be a prophetic witness to other Christians who are hiding in their pews and won't come out. They'll see hundreds and hundreds. There will be all type of energy, and even in the churches that aren't coming. We will be the subject of everything going on in Wichita, Kansas. The gospel of Jesus Christ will be the subject in the churches and out of the churches in Wichita, Kansas. Now, I'm not yelling to guys in the queue. I'm talking to people who are watching right now that are a day's drive from Wichita. Come for a day. Come for 2 days. Come. This will be a life-changing event for you. Okay? Somebody jump in here. I don't know why my daggone camera keeps going down. Nobody jumping? Then well, I'll go to Jared and get it to play. Go ahead.
As a father, I would like to have my daughter be able to see these type of evils because I believe it's if you can expose them young, you know, it would help them prevent later on as they grow up that they know that abortion is wrong. But then when you go and try to talk to somebody about it, like their mom or something, or their father, the opposite parent, you know, they they're too worried. Like, don't expose them to it. And I'm coming to realize, like, we in America are just, that was probably the biggest eye-opening in Iraq, is just the realization of how little of exposure we have. Even in the ghetto, you don't even have it. This much exposure, you know, does that make any sense? Like,
do you guys have any idea?
Put it in their thought.
Jared, you can come in here in a minute. Do you guys have any idea what your kids are being exposed to in the public schools that you don't even know they're being exposed to? Do you have any idea? Yeah. We'll have 4 and 5 year old kids on the streets holding abortion pictures. They're killing babies inside the place, and people drive by and yell at us. I don't want my child to see that. I don't want my child. Why not? Why not? Let them know that inside that place right there, they're killing babies. And if that picture is so horrible, why don't you get off your arse and do something to stop it? Why are you so worried about the picture rather than the real thing going on inside that building? What the hell's wrong with you, pal? Go ahead, Jared.
Well, I was just saying, you're not really exposing them to evil. You're exposing them to the good. You're exposing them to the good side of it. We never see that part. The people who are standing for righteousness. You never see that part because it doesn't exist. You're exposing your kids to the good part of it.
We're hiding our light under a bushel, are we not?
Coach.
Yes.
You know, I was a lobbyist for the pro-family movement professionally for my career, and whenever the victim image discussion came up among the suit-wearing pastors that were my friends, it was always controversial. You know, the guys like you, now me, who go out and who go beyond the Jesus is love message and actually identify themselves with the truth. It was controversial. And one of the things that's come clear to me since I've been once, and I'm going to Wichita, I'm going to be with you the whole time. One of the things that's become clear to me is we're in this mess because of the suits, because of the lobbyists, because of the fact that we've sanitized the debate. We've
hired mercenaries.
We've purposely emptied the debate, the discussion, call it whatever you will, of the truth. We've emptied it of, and we make the people who go to the streets and who, because there's so few of us, look odd, we make that the issue. And it works. It works in the minds and in the hearts of definitely most Christians. Making us the issue works for some reason, and it's got to stop.
The old adage, Mike, I'm a Christian too, but I'm not like that coach. That coach is fanatic. That coach is crazy. And so because of that, see, the church then is able to justify them not getting involved with us. See, I hear people criticize God Hates Fags, Fred Phelps. You guys know that group? You heard of God Hates Fags group? You'll never hear me criticize them. You know why? What if the Lord really did tell them to do that? What if he really did? And see, I live a life. I'm sorry, this is so grainy. I live a life where I'm constantly criticized by my own team, constantly. They would turn me into Fred Phelps if they could. They would.
Hey, Coach. So
when I find myself, hang on a second, when I find myself speaking against Fred Phelps and his group, even though it doesn't witness to me, if the Lord called him to do that, then do it. It's not between me and him. It's between him and the Lord. And the last thing I'm going to do is criticize what they do. I would say this, doesn't witness to me, I wouldn't do it, but if the Lord called them to do it, go do it. Why would anybody want to do what they do? Wouldn't it be easier to open a coffee shop and just be nice to everybody? When you want to do ministry like that, why would anybody want to go out and take on the homosexual agenda like that? God uses all kinds, man. One body, many members, and some of us are some of those body parts aren't as friendly, whatever, user-friendly as others. John, who did I step on there? Some of us are going to say something. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that, you know, it wouldn't be the first time God told somebody to go out there and say God hates fags. Isn't that what the authors of the Old Testament books where it says God hates homosexuality? That's right. Isn't that what God told them to write?
Yeah, but see, but Larry, calling them fags isn't very Christian. Now you're name-calling them, and that doesn't glorify the Lord. See, listen, folks. I wish those doing the criticizing ain't never done it. This is shock therapy. Don't you see it? It's shock therapy. It creates discussions and conversations. And everybody else is sitting in their church not wanting to do anything because they're afraid they're going to make Jesus look bad.
Dave,
They actually hear what you're saying.
Yes, sir. Yes, Roger.
I guess, again, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, 11 out of 12 disciples died cruel deaths for the gospel. They were not just handing out cookies. They were calling out sin. Should we expect no less?
Jesus suffered a cruel death for the gospel. Did he not? Didn't he tell us to take up our cross daily and follow after him? Guys, flip back there to Matthew chapter 5, will you? Can you flip back there? Flip that Bible back open real quick. Who's he talking to, remember? Talking to the disciples. He ain't talking to everybody. If you want to be my disciples, you're going to have to pick up your cross and you're going to have to follow up. So it says, I could keep on going. If you want to be my disciple, well, you just want to be saved or do you want to be a disciple? Want to be saved or be a disciple? Because they're not the same. Verse 11. Blessed. 10. Roger, I'm going to let you read just for old time's sake. Verse 10. 5, 10.
Just am so tired of love all the time. Here we go. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Man, does that tell you something there? Why are they being persecuted? For righteousness. We're going to be on the streets. Hey, you can go down and have a daggone homo parade in downtown Wichita and everybody be out there applauding and clapping and praising you. You go out there and you stand against abortion, you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Brother, yours is the kingdom of heaven. Those are Jesus' words, by the way. Keep going, Rog.
Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Huh? Because of who? Because of him. They're going to hate you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you, falsely. What's it say to next?
Rejoice and be glad.
What? Roger, rejoice in what?
And be glad.
At what?
Of the persecution.
Yes. He sees it. He knows it. He lived it. He understands it. He said, don't be poor mouth and sad and cry. Rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Not just happy about it. Not just put on your happy face and go get a happy meal. Be exceedingly glad that you're counted worthy to be spit upon and cursed at and called names and have people turn against you and those of your own household calling you. Rejoice! Why? Keep going, Raj.
Because great is your reward in heaven.
Where?
In heaven.
Oh, my Lord.
For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
My goodness. What's the next
verse? You know what I quickly say, Dave? Look how weak the church is, and you just have to. How's things been going the way we've been doing it? How's it been going?
The last thing we want is persecution. That's the last thing we want. And so, what do? We go get pastor protection acts passed by our legislature, so we don't get persecuted. When you are in fact going contrary to what the gospel says, I said a few weeks ago, made people mad. I wish I'd arrest a few more pastors, throw a few more of them in jail. That's a blessing if I read it right. It's a blessing. Why? They did it to him, didn't they? Jesus go to jail? Yep. Jesus get arrested publicly? Yep. Paul get arrested? Yep. Paul get flogged? Yep. Yep, sure did. Why? Same reason. Righteousness' sake. It's a blessing in it. Paul said, I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Kept the faith. I've done what I was supposed to do. I didn't flinch. I went out and I stood for my Savior. See, the greatest sign of love, think about this in your own relationship with your wife. How does your wife know that you love her? If you love her, you serve her. You say you love Jesus, you serve him. Does he serve you? See, you pick up a phone, call him, and he brings everything to you? Well, are you doing anything in return? You serving him at all? Say, Coach, you're preaching a works gospel. Well, faith without works is dead. Maybe I am. See, I'm doing works not to get saved. I'm doing works because I am saved. You missed it. I'm going to say that again. I'm not doing works to get saved. I'm doing works because I am saved. Got about 4 minutes left. I had some more videos, but I don't know what's going on with my camera here. Sorry I look so fuzzy. Anybody? Hey, Mike, you're about to get persecuted up there in Bangor, Maine. They're already saying all manner of evil against you falsely. They're already doing it.
Oh,
rejoice!
They've been doing it for 30 years.
Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Quit being downtrodden and sad-faced. Rejoice! Oh, they're after me again, honey. Yahoo! There's a reward in this thing for me. I just read it. It's either true or it's not. There ain't no reward for the hiders. For those hiding inside the church in their pews, ain't no reward. Hey, Doug DuBose, I don't even know if you're listening to it. God bless you up there in Buffalo trying to make a difference. Yeah, they're going to hate you. Yeah, they're going to say all manner of evil. Yeah, they're going to say you're a radical. Yeah, they're going to say you're making Jesus look bad. Hey, Robert Sellers, God bless you down there in Atlanta, Georgia. They're going to say all manner of evil against you. They're going to tell lies about you. They're going to humiliate you. They're going to spit at you. Yes, sir. Amen, brother. Amen. I don't know if you noticed this or not.
Hey, they might even throw you in jail for holding a sign in front of Target.
They might even throw you in jail for holding a sign in front of the Target. I don't know if you noticed this. In a war, the other side shoots. You know what our problem is? You know old song, keep on the firing line? Keep on the firing line. You know what it is? We think that's like those ducks that used to go to the carnival, and those ducks would come by, and you'd have a cork gun, and you'd shoot at them. Bang, bang, bang. We think we're the firing line. We march in front of them. We're the target. No, 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 no. The firing line goes back to the Revolutionary War, where they got 16 guys fire. Bang. When they fired, they ran to the end of the line, and another guy stepped up, and bang, and then they ran to the end of the line, and another guy stepped up. That was the firing line. That's what Christians are supposed to be doing. When I get shot, Mike Heath runs over the top of me, and he takes my place. Then Mike Heath gets shot, and Roger runs over the top of him and takes his place. Keep on the firing line. Keep on the firing line. The other side's shooting, and hey, you know what we are? We're bullet catchers. We're spear catchers. They're firing away, and all we do, we just catch them. We never fire back. Hey, figuratively speaking, they want to paint us as killers and violence. Never any violence. Ever any violence at OSA from our side. Oh, the other side hates us. Never any on our side. They'll have 150 cops out there. Those cops will be wondering, Jiminy, why are we even here? Except for the God haters that are coming after us. Okay, man, sorry I didn't mean to waste. Sorry this happened. I feel bad I didn't explain to you Operation Save America earlier. If you're watching right now, folks, you're watching this on YouTube or listening to it later, and you're interested, say, Coach, give me some more information. I can only go for a couple days. That's good. I can only go for a day, Coach. Or how about this? Coach, I can't go, but I'd like to pay for Steven to go. I know Steven wants to go. I'll pay for him to go. Huh? Hey, Steven, don't make a face. You know why? Scripture is very clear. No soldier goes to warfare at his own expense. If you're going to go to war, you shouldn't have to pay for it. I shouldn't have to go to war and buy my own bullets. Shouldn't have to buy my own uniform, my own helmet, my own shoes, and my own meals. If I'm going to go fight, somebody ought to be paying my way to go do it. That's the way I see it, and that's one of the things I don't mind asking money for. That guy wants to go fight, somebody out there help him fight. God bless y'all. Now maybe you know a little bit more about what we do there. Can't wait to get there and be with my friends. We start on Saturday. Goes through the next Saturday, 16th through the 23rd, Wichita, Kansas. OperationSaveAmerica.org. operationsaveamerica.org. God bless you. See you all tomorrow.